I wonder if there's anyone who really just works 8 hours a day on paint. It's not like a regular job. It needs creativity, comes and goes. It doesn't work that way.
Hello and welcome to episode 131 of Art Juice, honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and hopefully get you thinking with me, Alice Sheridan.
And me, Louise Fletcher.
And today, sorry to say, not sorry, because we're a little bit looking forward to it, is going to be the last podcast, don't panic, for a while. We're going to take a little break over the summer, and we will be back again, but we're taking a little break over the summer. So make sure that wherever you're listening to this, you subscribe or follow, because then you'll get a notification when we kick back off again. But we're going to enjoy today. And what we're going to be talking about is about this idea of using rhythms in our work and why you shouldn't feel guilty, basically, about taking a pause. So, before we get to that, what have you been doing this week?
Well, I'm still teaching my course, so that takes up a lot of time, and I'm re-recording videos so that everything's fresh. And of course, when I do that, I think, oh, I can think of a better thing to do this year.
Yeah.
So I do something new. So that takes up quite a bit of time, but I really enjoy that. I like finding new ways to communicate something, and I like improving it year on year. So I've been doing that. But also, and there's a lot of demoing involved in that for me this year, which I didn't do before. So I'm recording myself doing the assignments that I'm giving other people. But I've been doing it in a way so I'm bringing it into the series of work that I'm creating, rather than just going off and doing something completely new. So following the assignment, but keeping in mind the colours and ideas that I'm working with in the series. So I'm loving the series that I'm working on. And the way I tend to work is I had a few panels on the go, maybe 8 or 9. Now I've started working on paper. I've started a sketchbook. Then I'll go back to some panels. I've primed some really big ones to work on. And it kind of evolves organically. So I never know how many they're going to be. But when we get to inspiration, I'll talk about how it all might play into something I wasn't expecting. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. Painting, teaching.
Sounds good. It's funny, isn't it, how everything does. I think once you have the space, and this ties in with what we're going to talk about today, things do kind of snowball and they do take on. I mean, this is what happens. It takes on a mind of its own. And it's just lovely when you're in that space and you can fully enjoy it, because it's not always that way.
No. So what have you been up to?
So we had a little bit of a weekend away, and before we went, I recorded an interview with Sam Boughton, who's in my membership, and then we were going to be in the same place. And I thought, well, I'll go down and visit her. So she lives in Tynmouth, which is where there's a river estuary. It comes out into the sea on the south coast of Devon. And I thought I'll go down and see her. But she's actually came up to Dartmoor. Hottest day, honestly, Dartmoor's high up. It's 3 degrees cooler than anywhere else in the locality. So as you drive up, the temperature drops. But it was the hottest day. She came up, we climbed the hill. We were like, we've got to sit in the shade to do this. And it was so lovely to sit and draw together on location or paint together, and also see what somebody else took from the landscape that they were looking at. And I think what was interesting for me was, I was looking, and we were talking before we began about how in your course at the moment, you're talking about this idea of stealing from other artists, or seeing things you like and recognizing that and using that maybe as a signpost in your own work. And, you know, I was looking forward to working with her because her sketchbooks are beautiful. And I was like, I want some of that. I often can tend to get a bit small in sketchbooks, and I like her expansiveness of thinking. So, you know, I was hoping to steal a little bit of that from her. But it was also interesting, at the end of the day, she said, this is what I see in the way that you're working, and you do it totally different from me, and this is what I've learned from you. And that kind of to and fro of idea exchange that wasn't a teaching thing. That was really lovely. That I really enjoyed that. So, and I was using acrylic inks, which is I've never used before.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. They look nice. It looked lovely what you created. Yeah, I love them. They're very different, aren't they?
Very different, and actually work really well for working outside, because usually what I do is I tend to draw and make colour notes in watercolour, because I get access to everything that way. But watercolour is not, it's not intense enough. So it gave me that intensity of colour, but I only took 3 colours with me, and I really missed that. I really missed being able to add in extra colours, because I just have that sort of responsiveness with colour. So I did have to mix watercolour in with it. So when I go again, I'm gonna take more coloured inks with me, because that variety of colour is still something that's really important to me. Even I find it really hard to stick just to black and white, because it's the colour that I look at and I see.
Yeah.
And then back in the studio this week, I've sort of been doing just more of the same, really, working towards finishing things. And it does slow down a bit at that stage, but it just becomes more about subtleties. So there's not huge visible differences, but subtleties. So I've just been enjoying doing those. So, yeah, it's been a good week. It's been a hot week, in London.
It's so hot here today. I can see your dog behind you is just like passed out on the floor. And I actually took mine into daycare today when he doesn't normally go, because it's too hot for him outside and he doesn't know not to stay out there. So they'll keep him cool with paddling pools and all sorts in there. So that's why he's got.
I take her into the garden and hose her feet down, and she looks at me like she doesn't really like getting wet, like I'm trying to kill her or something. And I'm like, you will feel better. Go and lie in the shade. Don't come and lie up here in the hot attic. We shouldn't grumble. I love it. I love it. I love it, really. So the summer is traditionally a time for me, I think because I've had so many years of school holidays, and and that really naturally limits what you can do a little bit, or at least I found it did. I think it was a difference of having your mind in a different zone, and also feeling like I didn't have as much space and time to get settled. So the summer for me has always been a little bit of a break in the year, and it's always been a rhythm that I've kind of worked with, but it was something that I battled against for a while, because I had this idea in my head that, you know, if you go on holiday you should always be drawing in your sketchbook, and I never did, and it always made me feel really guilty. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about, you know, why it's a good idea maybe to take a break, and making sure that it's a break that suits you. But I know that you often don't feel this in your work, do you? You don't feel that you like to have these pauses between things.
No. Maybe it's because I've got no life. It's because I've got nothing else to do. Well, I mean, it's because I don't have kids, so I never had that summer holiday thing of needing to go off and do things with kids. I did, for many years, go off on holidays and travel. When we lived in the US, we went all over and went on holidays. And that was a nice break from work when I didn't like my job.
Yeah.
But now my break from things that are not enjoyable is to paint. So it's the idea of I'm always a bit, oh, go away. It's just such a palaver to go away, and I can't be bothered anymore. But I think that comes from, it's just a personal thing of having spent so long traveling and living in other places. And we didn't settle really anywhere for a long time. We moved a lot. And so finally being settled back home that feels like home, it's this is my holiday. Like every day is my holiday here. And I don't want to go away, but it wouldn't be that way had I lived here my whole life and never gone anywhere. I'm sure that's why. But so I don't have that, but I do have, definitely I'm beginning to learn that I have cycles of times with energy and times with less energy that I've not necessarily paid attention to. And maybe I need to learn more about. So I'll push myself and push myself and push myself when actually it would be time to rest.
Yeah. I think that's important. And it's, you know, you're talking about working at home where you've got everything with you. You know, everything is exactly as you need it to be, work-wise, materials-wise. You've got access to whatever you want. I think the thing that I found frustrating about the summer was all of a sudden it was a shift in a little bit of using different materials. And yeah, using different materials can sometimes help you explore ways of making marks or doing things. But I think I just had so many years that I would pack up optimistically art kit to take with me away. And then it wasn't that life got busy as I was away. You know, we were doing things. And then I just spent the whole time feeling guilty that I'd brought this art kit with me and I wasn't using it. Or I'd feel like, oh, I've got to get up and go and have a day doing sketching. But my heart wasn't really in it because my head wasn't really in it. It wasn't what I was there for. And actually, once I completely dropped that idea, so the first time that we went away and we had a holiday and I just didn't take anything, and I found it so restorative creatively, even though I wasn't creating while I went away. And I think that was a little bit of a revelation to me, that you don't always have to be doing or making. So much of creativity is, for me, it's about absorbing what's going on around you, letting it reshuffle in different ways in your mind, giving your brain the space to make those unusual combinations or to let ideas develop, sometimes without the pressure on doing anything that visually fits what you're imagining. So let me explain what I mean by that, because I'm sure we've all experienced that. Like, we have this optimism, I'm going to go into the studio, I'm going to do this painting, oh, it's all fantastic. And then you try and do it, and maybe your skill level, or it's taking longer than you think. And then that element of it can be a little bit disappointing if it's not quite coming up to where you imagine or you want to be. And having these pauses away from actually doing it kind of lets my mind just run and enjoy that time. And then I come back feeling really invigorated and just dive in. And by that stage, there's enough of a difference that I don't feel that frustration. So it's just an interesting thing that I've noticed.
I think I've noticed that I've talked about this, I'm sure, but in the times when I'm really focused on teaching or getting my course ready or something, and I can't paint and I don't have time and I'm not filming demos or anything, it's like a buildup of creativity that happens. And I really like the shift between the two. I still find creating videos or courses or teaching materials is creative in a different way. So I still feel I always need to feel I'm creating something, even if it's just a garden, or, you know, I need to feel like I'm creating something. So that fills that need without meaning that what I used to do, and you know this, when I first knew you, is I used to just paint all the time. But I'm more productive now that I don't do that. I'm more productive. I've done three, I'm on my third series, even though one of them took 2 years, in 2.5 years, because I'm now able to go back and forth between painting and not. So I think I spend less time painting now than I did, say, 3 years ago, but I get lots more paintings made. And it's because of those breaks.
Yeah, and because it gives us space to keep things fresh a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you come back, otherwise everything's on the same slightly monotonous keel. And I don't know whether we sort of expect that. I think probably people expect that from you, and this might be different from you at work. Like, if you're at work in a job, you're expected to be reliable. It's continuous, you know. And as adults, I think sometimes, particularly if we think we're wanting to make art seriously, for me, there was this expectation that meant doing it continuously.
I see that with a lot of the people taking my course. Several people have asked that question. How many hours do you spend painting in a week? And I don't feel like I'm, you know, doing this properly because I've only spent 6 hours this week. And that's not that doesn't mean you're not doing it properly, but we have this idea, like you said, that you put on your beret and you smock and you arrive at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. or whatever. And you, well, actually, I think I pictured you worked late into the night. I think I pictured you got up late and then you worked until, you know, 3 a.m. with cigarettes everywhere and wine everywhere. And this, I had this whole image. But yeah, you put in long, long, long hours. And I don't think, I think it's like that for some people. I think when we talked to Brian Rutenberg, he said he goes every day like a job and he stays for 8 hours or whatever and comes home. But it's not like that for most of us, I don't think.
So that's an interesting question. Could it be like that? Would you want it to be like that? I don't feel like I've ever had the opportunity. You're going to call me out on this, aren't you? Like I've ever had the opportunity for it to be like that, because there have always been other things that I needed to do as well.
Tell me what I'm going to say in this.
You're going to say, if you wanted to, you could make time for doing it. And so now I'm just thinking, what would it be like if I really did like, and I can imagine that for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that working for me for a long period. I remember there was a week a couple of years ago where I had a week to do something and I just decided that I wasn't going to do anything else. I wasn't going to do, well, basically anything else, anything domestically. All I was going to do was focus on these paintings. And I did paintings within a week that would normally have taken me maybe 2 months. And there was less fussing with them. I did them much quicker. There was a kind of real immediacy to it. And I really enjoyed. And I remember getting to the end of that week and just thinking, wow, that's cool. It could be like that every week. But if it was like that every week, I think it would start to feel like a production line. So I like this random ebb and flow up and down. Some weeks I put the pressure on, some weeks, like this week, it's been like, oh, let's just, you know, play around with this paint and pour it and see what happens. And it's subtle and a lot of sitting thinking and just enjoying it. That's the thing, maybe, is that when we have these pressures or expectations that we put on, whether it's hours or finishing, or then we don't enjoy it quite so much.
Yeah. I've often wondered, so if I could take a year.
Yep.
And say, right, for a year, I'm just going to do that between the course, between 1 year of the course and the next year. But I always think, I think what I've noticed is the less I have to do, the less I get done. Mm. So that might just be me, but I don't think it is. I can get quite drifty if I don't have a lot of things to do, and quite bored and kind of flat. And if I'm busy and there's lots to do, I'm happy and moving and energized and I'm more creative. So I think I'd miss, let's just say I didn't have my membership group, because if I didn't have that, then I could just paint for a year. That just feels a bit,
Yeah.
It feels great on day one and two, but by day three, be like, shall I make a YouTube video? Shall I do something else?
And then you get, or I get, well, if the thought of doing that makes you feel like this, then you're not a real artist, because I should be. Yeah. That's all I should be doing. That's all I should be thinking about. I was going to say, that's all I should be thinking about, dreaming about. That totally still happens all the time,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Thinking about, dreaming about.
I think we are creative, because when I said that about Brian Rutenberg, I realized after I said it, it's not true that he does that every day of the year. He said he has seasons.
Yeah.
He has all summer when he goes to the Hamptons and doesn't do anything. And then he comes back and starts again. So I wonder if there's anyone who really just works 8 hours a day on paint. It's not like a regular job. It needs creativity, comes and goes. It doesn't work that way.
I think if you treat it as an 8 hour a day painting thing, it's inevitably going to turn into something that isn't, that's not how creativity works. So it's inevitably going to turn into something that starts to feel a little bit formulaic and systematic, and therefore you can apply that principle on a longer time scale to how things work across a year. I suppose my biggest thing for having this conversation is, if there's anybody out there who's listening who is feeling guilty because they are either taking the summer off to be with kids, or they just don't feel like working in the same way because it's hot, or because they're not inspired when like everything green rather than winter colors or whatever, it's all right. It doesn't mean everything's gone away again. And to enjoy those spaces in between, because certainly my experience of those spaces is it creates room for ideas to flourish, and you come back, or I come back. It's a little bit like, I don't know if you don't go on holiday, it might not happen. But, you know, often when we go away on holiday, because it's that sense of being away, you see things different and you come back and you've made decisions. Quite often we make big decisions about things we're going to do in life on holiday, or you have that time to talk things through and you come back with a sort of spring in your step. And I think that that's more important than keeping consistency of a working practice. That's it, isn't it?
It'd be interesting if we've got any listeners who do show up on time at 8 o'clock and work until 6 o'clock. And if you do, we'd love you to come and comment on one of our Facebook pages just to let us know, because that I'm sure there are people who can do that. And maybe we don't actually know, but if you did that, you'd have a mountain of work, because if you don't spend any time on social media and any time doing any marketing or contacting galleries or dealing with galleries, then you're not going to sell anything. And then, so you're just going to be So it's not even possible anyway, because you've got to spend a big chunk of time doing the other things.
And I certainly feel that if I did that with a long period of time, I get really tired. Some days I can do that. Some days I'm in it and I can do 7-8 hours quite happily. Most days, 3 to 4 hours, I start to notice that what I'm doing can have a little bit less impact, and actually it's probably better if I pack up and go home and come back again fresh the next day. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you could generate a huge heap, and that goes back to that old story about, what was it, a ceramicist who had a class of students, and to one he said, I want you to make the perfect pot, and the others he said, I want you to make 100 or whatever. And the people who made 100 pots came out with
better pots. Yeah,
so that could be quite an interesting challenge, couldn't it? And I think that's what worked with me in that week, that there was a certain degree of wasn't pressure, a drive that I put on myself to do a lot quickly without thinking about outcome. And that certainly is very valuable, but it's a little bit harder to do when you're doing it on bigger canvases, isn't it? I worry about that. I think if I worked that quickly, would that take away the specialty of each canvas?
That's interesting. I'm finding, because we're in a different situation where my studio's here, so I can go back and forth quickly and just do a bit. And when I'm really busy, as I am now with the course, I'm finding I get maybe half an hour a day or an hour, and I just do a little bit. And I'm much better. I enjoy myself much more on the long stretches, because I love getting immersed in it. I don't make very much progress on a long stretch. It's when I go in and I've maybe got 6 panels or 8, I think there's 8 on the go at the moment, and I might tackle a few of them with a mark. I might take the same colour and go on each one, because in the early stages I'm working on them all in the same very limited palette, and then I expect to kind of bring each one different colors in a different way, maybe, we'll see. But so I might just go do something on 4 panels in a short amount of time and leave them, and inevitably when I work that way, I always leave thinking, God, I improved those, like that's really made a big difference. If I'm there for 4 hours, I often leave thinking, well, I lost one and I left the other 3 pretty much as good as they were when I started. So it might be, and I've got to do more observation of this for myself, but that just might be how I have to work. And that's why it suits me to go to paper and then a sketchbook and then back to the panels rather than this, you know, the steady work on several panels. We say work on a series so you don't get stuck on one, but even 6 is not that many. No. I think I need to have lots of extra bits of paper lying around. That's what I'm finding.
Yeah, extra bits of paper are quite a no pressure way of doing it, because you can gather them together and stick them in a sketchbook, but you don't have that freaky fear of like, oh, I've got a page in my sketchbook, I might mess it up and do something I don't like on it, which I definitely used to have. I tell you what else I did this week, which kind of ties back to this. So I had a concertina sketchbook, which I started at the beginning of lockdown last year, and did kind of over a few weeks, I did maybe two-thirds of the length of one stretch. So how many pages are in a stretch? It's quite a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot, odd? Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It goes a long way.
It goes all across the floor of my studio, yeah. Which is 6 meters across. Yeah. So it almost is probably like 4.5 meters,
yeah,
when you stretch it out.
And it was a complete play space. I'd never had a concertina sketchbook before. I didn't know what
my favorite.
I didn't know what I was going to do in it or how I would like it, or I wasn't that happy with the paper initially. It felt a bit blotting papery. I don't know. And I finished it, or I finished one side of it this week. And when you open it up, two things that I noticed that are really interesting. So there did start to be this idea of a colour flow from page to page. So it's a little bit like a rainbow all the way across, but that wasn't really planned. It just sort of happened as the colours went across. And some of those marks and the things that I was playing in with that at the beginning of March 2020 are coming out in paintings that are happening in the studio now.
Interesting, yeah.
Without that being any kind of logical thought. And I think that's the value in having this time and space away. And my daughter came to the studio last week with me. She hasn't been for ages, and she was out seeing friends. And I said, well, get the tube back via this way and then we'll come back together. And because she is good. She, when I used to work at home, she used to come home from school with her school uniform and I could hear her key. And then she'd come upstairs and she'd pop in and she'd say, that one I like, you should leave it. That one's no good. And she was always right. You know, she's got a good eye, and she had quite, you know, I think because she's doing that thing where she comes in fresh and she could see it. And I realized that actually I'd missed that. So I said, come and see what you think. And she stood. The first thing she said was, well, you've really and truly moved in, haven't you? She said, you couldn't get all of this stuff back home now. And then she said, it's really interesting. She said they've got a very different feel to them. But she said, equally, you've got a whole load of marks and things happening here that you used to do. She said, they're like your prints and the prints you used to do in printmaking. Now, she was little then. When I was doing printmaking, I wouldn't have thought that she was even paying attention. But it did make me realize that is a long cycle from a chrysalis into a butterfly. That's 6 years ago, 7 years ago, even longer, maybe. But exploring all these different avenues, it does show up later somehow.
Yeah.
And that's what I think these time patches can be good for, if you find a way that suits you.
And I think it's a good point that working in a sketchbook or on loose pieces of paper, that's a different kind of break. So it's if you don't want a painting break, or if you're not going away on holiday, but you want a break from producing, that I love my concertina books for that, because I love them as a place to just play with paint. And then something always happens. And then when it happens, I think, oh, I could try that on some panels. Or it's usually a bit more immediate for me, so I'll go from that onto bigger paintings. But it's just a playground and a place that I can show people if I want to, but I can keep it to myself, which takes a lot of pressure off.
And that's the value of, sketchbooks, isn't it? Mm. When you can do that and including them as part of your normal practice, I think. And it's easier to do when you're in that space, I think. What can be difficult about times where you have an enforced break away from your studio is finding something that still feels relevant, but perhaps isn't trying to be the same as what you do when you're working on inverted commas proper paintings. And that was a real struggle for me. So that was really, I mean, I remember being, even as an adult, you know, we had family holidays with my parents and my mum saying, go and sit in the town in Italy and draw everybody at the cafe. And I'm like, have you looked at my paintings, mum? You know, that's not like, it didn't feel like there was in any way a connection or a link with what I was doing. Whereas I think if you can identify something to explore that makes it feel relevant for you, there is a value in keeping warmed up, because what can happen if you go completely cold turkey is that it's hard to get going again.
I've had that again, coming from a period of working really hard on a course or something, and then coming back in after a few months to look at the paintings that were halfway through and going, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even recognize these, or I recognize them, but they feel like someone else made them. And you can always get back into it, but it is a feeling that I think people will recognize, that kind of disconnect between you and the paintings you were making when you went away.
Yeah. And that's a very good point. If you're going to have a break, is it worth wrapping up a group of paintings before you finish? And I think probably, I would feel that it is, because
if you can.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's quite hard to jump back in,
yeah,
rather than keep the continuity going.
Yeah, mine was my long running, you know, Ted Hughes paintings. And so I couldn't give up on it, and
yeah,
I couldn't finish them then, and I couldn't give up on it. And what I did was just take some time, again, pieces of paper, reading poems again, getting back into the whole swing of it. But I definitely noticed it. And if I could now, I would time it to have a break after I'd finished a series of work.
I mean, I've got, can you see behind me? I've got about 10 little 10 inch panels, which could be finished, but I've lost them.
Right.
I've lost
connection.
Yeah. I've lost, I can't remember what I was thinking when I was doing them. And I don't know. I mean, in one of them you can see is in a frame now, and I'm like, yeah, it could be finished. But I'm not feeling them anymore. I've just lost it. So that's a whole load of work that's completely pointless. Is it?
No, because you'll come back to it. You'll paint over them, or you'll do something else.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with them. But I think that is a common trap that often happens, is that people, and I recognize it, if you know, you're a little bit scared of the finish line. So you leave everything, and then you start again on something else when you come back, and then you're surrounded by stacks of things that I'm pointing to that aren't complete.
Maybe, though, in the spirit of our theme, maybe it's just that it's not in flow yet. It's not the right time. You started them a little bit too soon. They're going to, in time, it's going to be time to readdress them again.
Yeah. I'm
with the flow.
I'm going to make a note. So when this comes out, no, I won't be here on Tuesday. At some point next week, I'll do, when you've listened to this, I'll do a flip through on Instagram of those 10-inch panels, and you can see exactly what I mean, because I think that's quite interesting to see.
So circling back around to our upcoming break, this was something that initially you had suggested. I'm very keen on it too now, but initially it was your idea. What do you hope to get out of it, of having time off from me? What are you hoping to gain from this voluntary break that we're taking?
I think this slight extra space, because we record the podcast, then later we have to listen to the edit, then later you write the show notes, I do the imagery that has to be uploaded. So it's not just one day, it's drip, 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 drip throughout the week. And I have other things that I do that for as well. And I think taking one of those, just one of those out of the picture, is going to give a bit of space for that relaxation that I'm talking about, of invigorating things. But I also have another idea. Like, I'm finishing this group of work, and when I start work again in September, I want a bit of a shift change. And I know that that won't happen unless I build in this break to let something develop in that period. And I've got a loose idea of what I want to spend some of that time doing to encourage that and a direction that I want to explore, but I need the time and space for it. So that's what I hope is going to happen. I also hope that everybody might either realize that they miss us and it's nice that we continue, or they might enjoy a break and go away and, you know, really have time without those external intrusions. And, you know, I have it with podcasts and I love them and I listen to them, but sometimes it's nice not to fill your head up. On the weekend when it was really nice and sunny, I could have done gardening and I could have done more drawing after our nice drawing day on Saturday, and I didn't. I went and lay on the grass in my bra and pants and read an entire book by 2 p.m. and then started another one this afternoon. It was lovely. It was just lovely to have a total stop, and that's what summer kind of used to be about. It reminded me of being 14.
Yeah. Everybody's so, now thinking about Alice in her brown pants. We can't get it out of our mind.
Well, I didn't have anything more. Thankfully there was nobody else around apart from like the odd rabbit or the dog, so it didn't really matter. But just a complete pause. I think this idea of just slowing down, creating the space, seeing what comes into it, and knowing now that actually that won't panic me. I think there was a time where I would have been worried or I would have felt guilty about not doing things or not drawing. What about you?
I think making some space for, I always find that I'm not in a position to deal with anything that happens because I'm so busy. So if anything happens, and there are things in my life at the moment that need attention, and I feel like I just don't have the space. I'm always thinking, yeah, but I've got to get that done by that time, that done by that time, that done by that time. This has got to get finished. And that's not even painting stuff. That's membership stuff or course stuff. And this is a very busy time for me because the course and the membership is always going, and then I'm doing the course. So it will just give me a little bit of extra room in my days, because as you said, it's not just this 1 hour of chatting, which is the easy part. It's all the extra little bits and pieces. And it's even the mental space of, have I written it down in my planner? Have I remembered to do the, and this week I didn't get to do our promoting it until the day after it come out, which is the first time I've ever missed that, just because there was too much happening and I couldn't get to it. So it, just a little bit of extra space, and I'm going to look at where else I can do that as well. Where else? Mm-hmm. Not during the course, because that's a big investment people have made and it needs to be as good as I can possibly make it. But when that ends at the end of August, where can I? We'll be back if we haven't decided just to give up altogether. Don't worry, people, we won't do that. But if I'll be able to try and think how I want to make space, just be more conscious of it than just rushing into everything.
I think as well, I wouldn't be at all surprised if having a break gives us perhaps new ideas for how we do the podcast. So we've spoken already, because of certain logistics that we have about editing, about maybe changing the timing of it in the week, whether that works better. One of the things we've never done is batch, because we just started it and we just like winging it as we go, really. And I like the fact that it's current and, you know, it is relevant. It is what we're doing. You are hearing it live. And I like that about it, but it does mean that there is no break.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if giving ourselves a break, we'll start to have ideas about possibly other ways that we can still keep that feeling a really important part of it, but also build in ways to perhaps make it a little bit easier. And I don't know what that this is the whole point. I don't know what that looks like yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be at all surprised if either you or I say, do you know what? I had an idea and it might work quite well like this.
Yeah,
we've done a little bit more of that this year by bringing on more guests to talk to, so that it's not just us chewing each other's ear off. Yeah. And I think I've enjoyed that. That's worked well.
Yes, me too. And it's so fantastic to get to talk to different people.
Yeah.
you know, a few years ago, I wouldn't have thought I'd be talking to. That's just really good fun.
But I mean, I think
good in everybody.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But what we also notice when we do that is that it takes a lot more organizing.
Yeah.
Like, so you've got to arrange, you've got to check schedules with people, like you've got to send people links to Google Drive, you know, gather information in advance, all sorts of things need doing. Certainly couldn't do that every week. That wouldn't make it an easier option, would it?
No. And there's so many podcasts that are an interview with someone, that every week is an interview with someone, that I don't like it when it's just all that. But I think it's nice that we keep our guest interviews more like conversations. I like that whoever comes in is like replacement Alice or replacement Louise for that week, and it's still a conversation, as opposed to, now tell me about how you first got started and then da, da, da. I like that, because podcasts do tend to be a bit, everybody starts a podcast and interviews a different person every week.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's just going to be this space for opening things up anyway. Right, so anything new or different that's inspired you? I can see your notes, so I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
So last week you talked about a book called The Yellow House, which I have ordered and hasn't yet arrived.
You're in for a treat. It's so good.
But there were quite a few The Yellow House books. So this is the one by
Martin Gayford. He's an art critic. He's written apparently four books or three others, which I'm going to read now because this was so good. Yeah, so this is in my notes because I finished it and just so moving. And we talked about, was it going to be like fictionalized or sensationalized? But it wasn't at all. It's really carefully researched. And because Van Gogh wrote so many letters, and because Gauguin also wrote quite a lot of letters, there's a lot of information from that 9-week period. And they even got some contemporaneous interviews with people like the shopkeeper who lived near them. Not very much of that, but, you know, little bits and pieces. And what I found so moving about it, I won't spoil all the things that happen, I'm sure you all know anyway, but I found it very moving because it really does give you a picture of Vincent van Gogh, especially as a person, and that he was struggling, and they don't know exactly with what illness, people have different theories, but that he was struggling so much with a mental illness, which nowadays would be recognized and hopefully treated, but which then, you know, there was nothing for him, and his life was so tormented. And I've always known that, but reading this book, I found it particularly moving. One of the most interesting things was his struggle as he worked with Gauguin. He felt like, because Gauguin was very analytical and thoughtful and considered and believed in thinking about art history and embedding yourself in that tradition and having and working very carefully. And Van Gogh was whipping off paintings, like sometimes two in a day, and was questioning himself and doing things the way Gauguin did, trying to twist himself into a pretzel to be someone else, because he felt like that's the way he's supposed to do it. I respect him and he's doing that. And so to think, wow, one of the world's most now popular and famous artists felt like I'm doing it wrong because I do it this way. But there's a point in their relationship where he thinks, no, basically screw it, I'm going to do my paintings the way I do them. And then he just starts whipping off masterpieces at a rate of knots in this few week period. But at the same time, so painfully suffering from something that would just take him over and he couldn't control it. And I just found it very, very sad and moving and inspiring, really. So I highly recommend it. But also, I had an email out of the blue from a gallery here in Yorkshire about a potential exhibition next year. And it was quite funny because she said, would you be interested in having a conversation? And I said, oh, yes, you know, that would be nice. Can we get on Zoom or whatever? And she wrote me back, let's put a date in the diary for August or September. And I thought she meant to do an exhibition. So I said, Well, I think I need longer than that, and I need to come and look at the gallery, and I need longer than that to make work. And she wrote back, no, for the Zoom call, the exhibition would be next year. So that's good. So we're booking and we're going to book a date and have a chat, and I'll probably pop. It's maybe an hour and a half away from me in the North Yorkshire Moors, which is another scenic area, not the one that I live in. But it looks like a nice place. It looks like it would be perfect for the work I'm working on at the moment. It wouldn't be right for the Ted Hughes paintings. It's in totally the wrong part of the country for that, but it would be great for what I'm doing now. And I would like the idea of working towards something next year, nice and gently and slowly in tune with what we're talking about, building up a collection of things on paper and in sketchbooks and on panels. And really, I've never done that, working towards something like that. So could be really good.
Well, that sounds good. I was thinking as you were talking about the book and Van Gogh painting all those paintings in a quick period. That's just what we were talking about, and there are just such different ways of doing this, aren't there? You know, and I know that lots of people do this. You know, you go out, you paint on plein air, you do it in one go, and it's done, and it's complete. And this is also, I think, where having a pause and taking a gap from something can be really important, because you stop and you notice, because we do sometimes fall into things the way we see other people do them or the way we've heard people do them. And you think, well, actually, is this right for me? And giving you that break helps you recognize that actually, no, I could do it differently or longer or shorter or just totally differently. And that's what it is. That's what it is. It takes, you know, a long time. Is it just to get the confidence to go, stuff it? You know, he's doing it that way and I'm doing it this way.
You look up, like he looked up to Gauguin, you look up to other people, you see they're making beautiful work or doing something different. And you think, wow, well, they know. And I'm just a beginner and I don't know anything. So they must have the right way. And that's a big part of my course, is just helping people to witness and understand all the different ways there are to do this, so that you can see, well, my way might be okay just as I am. I might be able to just be me.
Yeah.
And that's all you need, really. And once you realize that, you're off and running. We'll all be making masterpieces.
Yeah. But I think it does just keep circling back. All those thoughts, all those things, they just keep circling back. They don't go away. You just got to keep looking at them. It's interesting you talk about galleries, because when we were driving back late on Sunday, and I noticed that a gallery had followed me on Instagram. So I hopped over to their page and had a look and sort of liked some of what they did. And actually, I haven't done this. Like, I haven't been thinking about galleries or concentrating on galleries, but just somehow last week, I was just thinking, I'd like to see this work now in a gallery. It suits having a gallery, because of that experience that I had in lockdown with this place in South Kensington. So I was just starting to think I should start thinking about this. This gallery followed. I looked at what they did on Instagram. I made a little note in my diary to give them a call on Monday. Then I went back into Instagram and looked in my DMs, and they'd already messaged me to say, can we set up a call? And we've done it. We've agreed what paintings they're going to have. We've agreed a delivery date. So, and that happened within 2 days.
Yeah. Of you deciding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? I shouldn't be surprised by that anymore. And we'll see. It's a different, but there were a lot of things that I just thought, this might be a nice kind of fit. So I won't tell you yet, but I'll tell you later where that is. And I'm just going to finish with another book recommendation, which is not probably complete because I haven't finished it yet. So the second book that I started at the weekend was called, it doesn't sound very thrilling, and it's called How to Paint a Dead Man by Sarah Hall. And I can't remember
the title.
Yeah, it's a good title, isn't it? Everyone's like, that sounds cheerful. There's no dead people in it yet. But either she or this book is a Booker Prize winner, and it's four different characters' stories intertwined, some in Italy. So it's got quite a nice sort of summer vibe to it, and some in the UK. and they're painting related. So can't tell you whether it's good or not yet, but if it's won prizes and it's painting related, there's another one for your reading list. So that's a wrap for this summer then. We are going to enjoy the break. We hope you do too. We will miss you and we will miss seeing your shares and your feedback about it. But I hope that you take the time to enjoy the space in between. And Laura Horn's podcast has just started up again. So if you make sure that you go over and you hop over to her, and then you can come back and add us to your audio list again when we come back in September. So it's goodbye from both of us. If you want to keep in touch in between time and see what we're doing, come over and follow what we're doing on Instagram if you don't already. So Louise is Louise_Fletcher_art on Instagram, and I am at Alice Sheridan Studio on Instagram. And we will see you, be talking to you all again in September. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye. So I made an Ottolenghi roasted cauliflower salad.
Did you?
I did. I faffed and fussed and I made it. I roasted hazelnuts and I made roasted cauliflower and I put parsley in it and I made my own dressing. And it was very tasty. It was very tasty. Do you make those kind of recipes?
I do, but sometimes, I'll tell you what's interesting. So Paul's been doing some a little bit more like that and stealing and doing them exactly. Whereas I think when you've been cooking a while, you go, I don't want to buy a whole jar of something for that. I'll use this instead. And I'm sure maybe it's not quite as good, but it kind of does the job. And I think often that recipe books like that, they're just there for inspiration. And then you end up doing your version of it. Thank you.